From the road to the big game, you're listening to Red Belly Radio. Hello, my name is Steve Heiser, and today we are talking about some of our special flights. With me in the studios of Red Belly Radio is Bert Krause. Bert, welcome to Red Belly Radio.
Well, thank you, Steve. Your studios look just like my office.
Well, we try to accommodate, you know. The NFL, I know with all professional broadcasters and stuff, unless you're actually reporting on the news, they don't like you to use the word Super Bowl. And that's why, like, on TV sales and stuff, you always see the big game.
Okay.
So
okay.
We won't say that word. Bert, you are you work with a lot of our special flights, and the ones I'm talking about specifically this week is, I guess I should say, we're recording this on the Tuesday after the NFC and AFC championship game.
Correct.
And we're talking about, we have some special flights scheduled, additional segments going from New Orleans.
Right.
And
Indianapolis
to
Florida,
Miami. Well,
right?
To Florida. So
Fort Lauderdale, I bet.
Fort Lauderdale. In fact, we don't fly to Miami.
Right.
But we fly to Fort Lauderdale, which is right near there. And I actually heard Fort Lauderdale is a closer airport than to the venue, the stadium, than Miami International is.
Okay, I did not know that.
I won't state.
But we need
fact,
to promote
but
that.
I heard that, so it must be
okay.
True.
Okay.
Now, are these the same as charters, these types of flights?
No, those are not. Those are what we call extra sections, and those are built through our schedule planning department. So they know that there is additional demand out of New Orleans, for example, and out of Indianapolis, for example, because of those teams winning to go to the big game. And those are built through schedule planning, and those get sold just like any other regular scheduled service flight.
So if you went to southwest.com, they're available.
Right.
Called up the reservation department,
right,
which is now called customer service and support.
Yep.
That would be there, and it's just like anything else.
Right.
As compared to a charter, which is done through specific agencies and...
Right, right.
A whole different thing.
Very, very, very different, yes. Anybody flying a group of people anywhere.
And there are charter companies, in fact, that have...
There are companies out there that have airplanes, and that's all they do. They're strictly a charter carrier.
Now, something I've noticed when I've been to the airport on occasion, I'll see these flights with a very different flight number. They're like 9,000 or something.
Right.
Are those like military charters or something?
Yeah. We have the charter department, we have a range of flight numbers that we use. That 9,000 range is actually it represents a ferry. So with charters, there's typically ferrying time involved. For example, if we were going to sell a charter out of New Orleans to Fort Lauderdale, we would probably take that airplane and a crew out of Dallas, and we would ferry that plane empty with the crew and with provisions to New Orleans, pick up the customer, and then fly to Florida. And then we have to ferry that plane back to Dallas because we have to balance our aircraft fleet in Dallas.
Because there's not a scheduled flight coming out of Fort Lauderdale.
So that plane's not following a scheduled line of service. We call it an irregular operation, but it's not irregular. We do it all the time.
It's just out of the norm.
It's out of the norm. Yeah.
Now, just last week, as of last Friday or Saturday, even Sunday morning, you didn't know which city these planes were going to be leaving from.
It's
one of four, but or two of four. But how do you get the plane scheduled? Because it could have been a much further flight or a much closer flight.
Right. Well, that's one of our challenges is that we do not typically have airplanes sitting around that are dedicated for charters. So what has happened? So we know that New Orleans won and Indianapolis won. So we are starting to get some calls from folks in New Orleans wanting to know if they can charter a plane for their company or for their friends and fans and or whatnot. And we're finding out what times they want to leave, what times they want to come back, and then we see if we have an airplane that we can do it with. And if we do, we try to sell it.
So for an event as big as this big game, we do our best to try to find planes to schedule between those cities, but we also do it for some of the big college bowl games too.
Right. Well, college bowl season for us, for Southwest Charter Department, is the one biggest event that we participate in every year for charters. We flew between December 26 and January, was it 7th or 8th? I can't remember the date now. We flew 106 charter operations.
Yeah, you're talking about flying fans to the event, yeah, not the team or the band.
The majority of what we do for College Bowl season is for alumni and fans. Now, we do fly. We flew some schools. We flew some bands. We flew school officials. So we do pick up those type of charters as well, and those charters come directly from the schools to us. The alumni and fan charters come through what we call a tour operator that specializes in selling those kind of packages, bowl packages. Does that make sense?
Yes. It does. And you triggered a memory that I had. I started out work at Southwest Airlines as a reservations agent, and on Friday afternoons especially, at the time it was really Southern California to Las Vegas, you absolutely could not get enough seats in that for 4 to 7 p.m. time frame and coming back on Sunday afternoon. And I remember people would ask, why don't you just get more planes and put them there? It's like, well, what do you do with them all week? It's a $30 million asset. People just don't quite always understand that planes are expensive, staffing them is expensive, and you don't have a parking lot full of them that you pick from.
You can't just fly them one day a week. We would get similar questions like, why don't y'all put some charters in that market? But charters, because of the ferry type requirements, that becomes a much more expensive operation than scheduled service, where you can flow that plane through a scheduled line of flight. Like the example I gave earlier, you got to fly somewhere from somewhere to somewhere, and then back to where you came from on a charter. And that's typically how that would work, and that's why that gets expensive to fly a plane around. Like that. So
I guess the bottom line here is if you're in a hometown where Southwest flies and there's a really big event that has to do with your local sports team, you could check Southwest.com. There may actually be a few additional segments, so check back frequently.
Yeah, you mean for extra sections.
It might not have been there yesterday. You know?
That's right. That's right.
If you had checked last week for these flights, they weren't there, but they're there this week.
And one thing to keep in mind, Steve, is that schedule planning is having to go find these airplanes also. You know, there's, like you said a second ago, we don't just have a parking lot full of planes that, you know, ready to use when we need it. So schedule planning, having to build, you know, building these extra sections out of New Orleans and Indianapolis, those came from somewhere. You know, they weren't just sitting around. So it's just not as easy as it sounds.
Oh, it didn't sound easy at all.
No.
It doesn't sound easy to me.
There's a lot of moving parts, a lot of different people with their hands on the airplanes needing them.
Right, because at any given time, a plane isn't just scheduled to be flying. It's scheduled for maintenance.
It's scheduled for maintenance, yeah. Yeah, I mean, on the weekends, we might have a few planes sitting around because our schedule's a little bit lighter on Saturday.
Reduced, yeah.
But mostly our airplanes, we have a whole bunch of airplanes. I'd love to sell anybody that could use them between 11 p.m. at night and 5 a.m. in the morning, because we don't.
Well, there's your opportunity. Yeah. The Red Belly Radio listeners can book those overnight flights.
Yeah, we have over 500 planes that we can sell between 11 a.m. at night or 11 p.m. at night and 5 a.m. in the morning.
Well, I don't know who you're rooting for in the big game.
Brett Favre.
Oh, well, perhaps next year.
No, I'm a Favre fan, but I like both teams, and I'm excited that the Saints, this is their first time ever in the Super Bowl, and so I think the first time ever in the big game. Oh my gosh, I made a mistake, and so I'm kind of rooting for those guys a little bit. So,
well, Bert, gosh, thank you so much for joining me today here in the studios.
Yeah, well, and in the studio or my office? My office. It looks a lot like my office.
We have a mobile studio.
But very pleased to join you today, yes.
Well, that does it for this episode. Red Belly Radio is a trademark of the Southwest Airlines Company. This episode is copyrighted 2010. I sound like the end of an NFL football game, you know? The captain has indicated that we have come to the conclusion of this podcast. Please turn off and stow all portable electronic devices.